Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and online. We pray you'll experience the presence of the coming Lord Jesus here today and throughout this Advent season. We have a couple announcements this morning. Join us this Wednesday, December the 24th at 4 p.m. for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. We have some invitations in Holman Hall where you can invite your friends and neighbors to join us on Wednesday evening that you can pick up afterward. We're still collecting diapers and wipes for Goochland Cares. There's a greater need for the larger size diapers, but anything you can donate helps. And please put them in Holman Hall, and there's also some more information on the hallway bulletin board. Finally, please join us for worship and fellowship and refreshments in Holman Hall. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship. We see God's love for us embodied in our Savior's birth.
Christ is our life and the source of everlasting love.
Advent calls us to love others with patience and kindness.
Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love.
Advent calls us to be slow to anger and quick to forgive.
Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love.
Advent reminds us that Christ commanded us to love as he loved.
Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love.
This morning, we light four candles, the candle of hope, peace, joy, and today's candle, love. This candle reminds us that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Today we celebrate God's gift of love and remember that we have been commanded to love others as God loves us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we continue our Advent journey, we are reminded that love came down at Christmas. Love amazing. Love divine. You love the world enough to send your Son, and now it's up to us to love others as you love us. Remind us that Christ is our light and the true source of infinite, everlasting, pure love. Amen. Amen.
When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Most gracious God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Willing to be loved by you, we are reluctant to love others. Ready to accept your forgiving love, we refuse to forgive. Eager to grasp your redeeming love, we resist following your ways. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Hear the good news. Our Savior now draws near. His name is Jesus, which means God saves his people from their sins. It is this Jesus who says to you today, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Children this morning, or all children of God, to come forward as we will have our children's message, a little story from this book called Jesus Came for Me. As you remember, we started, if you think back that far, I know it's only been 3 weeks, but you think back that far, and we talked first about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how God came to Zechariah and told him some good news, but said that they still had to wait, and how waiting is part of the faithful journey. For those who wait, good things come. Hey, Liam, hey, Tate. Hey, my friends. Okay, so we're reading a story today from this little storybook. It's called Jesus is Born. So let's listen. Finally, the day came when God's promise to send a Savior came true. It happened in this way. God sent an angel to a young woman named Mary and told her that she would be the Savior's mother. God herself would be the Savior's father. While the Savior Jesus was still in her tummy, Mary traveled with her husband Joseph to Bethlehem. When they got there, the little town was crowded. They could not find a place to stay. Every room was full. There was somebody sleeping in every bed. Do you see that? Do you see them all sleeping in all the beds? The only place for Mary and Joseph that they could find to rest was in a stable with the animals. So Jesus, he wasn't born in a castle. He didn't sleep in a cozy crib. He was born in a stable and slept in a feeding box for cows and sheep. Do you see our animals? That same night, God sent an army of angels to announce the good news to poor shepherds watching their sheep. The dark fields filled with light, and the shepherds were very afraid. But an angel said, "Don't be scared. I have wonderful news. Jesus, the Savior, is born. God is with us." The shepherds hurried to find the baby Jesus. When they found him, they were so happy. They praised God and told everyone they could. Mary was amazed too. She remembered everything that happened and treasured the memory in her heart. The end. So our question today is, will you share the good news? Jesus' birth was good news for all people. And on Christmas, Jesus, who is our God, was born as a little baby. We can tell this good news to all our friends. And so the takeaway for all of you and all of you is to think of somebody you can tell about Jesus. Okay? We're going to think about somebody, maybe inviting them to Christmas Eve, to tell about Jesus. Okay? Let's pray together. I see your prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us in baby Jesus
that God is with us.
Help us to spread the news
that Christ is born.
In his name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can go back and sit down or go to the fellowship hall.
Our Old Testament reading comes from prophet Isaiah, chapter 41. Listen now to God's word. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoned him to his service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, scarcely touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first and will be with the last. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, "Take courage." The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, and yes, in the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Our New Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter, starting in the 18th verse. Listen now to God's word. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At my home church growing up, the Christmas season was never complete without the annual Nativity play. Over the years, it changed and shifted in its complexity and in speaking parts, depending on the age of the kids and their numbers. But no matter what, it always included well-loved costumes, heritage set pieces, and always a live baby Jesus. One year, though, we were sure it would end in disaster. You see, as the play was progressing, we noticed that Mary, played by an early middle schooler, she was having trouble keeping the baby up in her arms, up and supported. He wasn't exactly a newborn. And as the story went on and more characters were added, the wise men and the shepherds, she was getting progressively weaker and weaker, unable to hold the weight of the child. And just when we thought she would just finally drop the child onto the floor, suddenly someone swooped in, took up the child, and saved the nativity. We didn't know who was more relieved, us or Mary. And for the rest of the day, the baby Jesus was cradled safe in the arms of his hero, Joseph. People commented that this was a rather modern nativity, with much more action from Joseph than they had ever seen before. Now, Joseph is probably the one person in the whole story of our Savior's birth that we hear the least about. He's the only one who never has a speaking part, even throughout the rest of the New Testament. And after Jesus' childhood, we don't hear from him or even of him again. From a literary perspective, I know there are some literary scholars out there, This lack of information and lack of dialogue might make you think that he's nothing but a minor character, a background fill-in to give the narrative a little more texture. Yet Joseph plays a critical role in the events of Christmas, providing for and protecting both Mary and her unborn child. Our reading this morning is the other side of the coin of what we read last week, the Annunciation, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive and bear a son. And what we'll find this morning is that Joseph is the prime example of how God sometimes has to deliver people from themselves in order that they might do his will, in order that they might have new life. From the very beginning, we learn Joseph is a righteous man. This means, like Zechariah and Elizabeth that we heard about before, he sought to live faithfully to the decrees of God's law, to live in accordance with God's ways for God's people. In modern times, we would say Joseph was the type of person who always made sure his lawn was mowed week to week, but not in the straight lines, but more in the zigzag sort of pattern, that the leaves were raked and bagged. He was the one who always held the door open behind him, conscious of others. He was the one who would always come to a complete stop at a stop sign, even and especially when there was no traffic. He was a righteous man. But his righteousness now caused a dilemma. The woman he was engaged to marry, Mary, was found to be with child. It was a revelation that was naturally distressing. Your fiance is suddenly found to be pregnant. The rumors and assumptions write themselves. And as a righteous man, Joseph's first move would be to distance himself as soon as possible from Mary. She would be considered unrighteous, even wicked by some. So to take her as his wife now would mean that he risked the same exclusion and shame she did. Back in those days, unrighteousness and wickedness was seen as contagious. It's something that could be passed to others. And indeed, we find in the angel's message that Joseph's greatest fear was the fallout that could result of his marriage. It wasn't that the angel came to him and he was afraid, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Joseph was a righteous man, but he was also a caring man. And instead of publicly shaming Mary, he decided to dismiss her quietly, satisfying both his conscience and keeping her safe. I think this just shows the kind of love that he had for Mary already. But just when he had resolved to do this, the text says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Just like Zechariah, just like Mary before him, God breaks into Joseph's life with unexpected news. Like a key piece of information coming at the 11th hour, the angel's message totally transforms all that Joseph knew up to that point, and it set him on a path of new life and of greater righteousness than he could ever have known. For not only was Mary's pregnancy not from some illicit relationship, but from the Holy Spirit, but the child who was in her womb would be named Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, for he will save his people from their sins. This child would be the one for whom Joseph, with all of Israel, had waited. Emmanuel, God with us. This was the promise that the angel gave to Joseph. And now there's no evidence beyond the unexpected pregnancy. There was no evidence that this was true, except for a message from an angel in a dream. But Joseph recognizes something about this dream, about this message, that totally changes him. God was saying to him, you don't need to fear other people's judgment. You don't need to be constrained by some self-imposed standards. For this child is the one in whom I will redeem you and redeem all my people, in whom I will save from all judgment, in whom I will free from all that may bind. So even if you are afraid, he says, take my hand. Trust in my word. Trust in what I am doing. Joseph thought he was doing the right thing in dismissing Mary. But God showed him there was a better path, the new life found in this child, born to save. Joseph sought to be righteous, but his righteousness would not come from some mere rule-keeping, but from receiving God's word, from trusting God's promise of hope in Jesus. In a sense, God was saving Joseph from his own righteousness in order that he might be a partaker of a greater righteousness in Jesus. And what's amazing is that it's this promise and this promise alone that moved him to turn and take Mary's hand, to stand by her come what may. God's word of promise gave him the courage to face the exclusion and the shame with faith and with love. God's word of hope pushed him beyond his fears, beyond his constraints, beyond even what he thought was possible, into the new reality that God was making possible in Jesus, God with us. My friends, this same word of promise and hope in Jesus comes to us as it did to Joseph. It speaks straight into our fears and all that may bind us, and it comes as comfort and freedom. To those who are lonely or grieving, to those who are anxious about their lives or anxious about the future, this word of God comes to you and says, God is with you. God is with you in your fears and your anxieties, and he will never forsake you. God stands with you and will give you all that you need to come through. He'll give you everything you need to get through. To those who feel bound by self-imposed expectations and constraints, those who feel like they have to have it all together to be a perfect person or a perfect spouse or a perfect parent, and yet still fail. This word says Jesus has come for you, to forgive you, to set you free, to give you true liberty and rest for your souls. To all of these, this word says that in Jesus, God gives new, eternal, and abundant life. This is not for somebody else. He comes to each and every one of us and says, God is with you. God is for you. This word is God reaching down and saying, take my hand when you're afraid. Trust me. Trust what I am doing. And like Joseph, all we must do is receive this word, believe this word, and so enter into faith and new life, new and eternal life. But as this word comes to us, and as we receive it in faith, it also pushes us outward to meet others who are in this same place of fear and bondage, to stand with them in their troubles and to share God's word of hope and promise. God's word to us is also a word to all our neighbors who are weary and heavy laden. And as we stand by them, we invite them into the freedom and hope which only God can give. We say to them, when you're afraid, take my hand. God comes to us and says, when you're afraid, take my hand. And we say to our neighbors, when you're afraid, take my hand. God's word to Joseph is the same word he brings to us. In Jesus, God is with us and he gives us new life. Not for anything that we have done, and often in spite of what we have done, but he gives it to us anyway. So let us receive this word in faith. Let us live into the new reality that God is making possible. Thanks be to God. Amen. Receiving God's word with gratitude and trust, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Ever reaching with us, God, we don't always know the words to pray. We stumble over the things we wish to say. We meander in our thoughts. We fail to be eloquent when we try. But no matter our words, we know that you are listening. So today, Holy God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the reachers. Thank you for the people in our lives who have reached for us when we have needed it most. Thank you for friends and family, for Sunday school teachers and faith mentors, for therapists and chaplains, for home carers, for neighbors and attentive strangers. Thank you for the people who, like Joseph, chose to reach for us and stand by our side when we needed it most. We pause to remember and to lift them to you in gratitude now. Holy One, while we count our blessings, we also pray for those who face their fear alone. We pray for those who do not have a Joseph in their life. In particular, we remember those in isolation, in jail cells, for those in medical quarantine. We pray for single parents and for widows and widowers. We pray for immigrants and foreign exchange students who often feel alone in a new country. We pray for those who feel isolated by their grief, their addictions, or their mental health. We pray for all who feel lost and alone, for those who are bound by the brokenness and sin of the world. We pause to remember all these and lift them before you now. Show us, O Lord, how to reach across the dividing lines. Show us how to walk with each other on the good days and the bad. Show us how to see each other. Show us how to reach for each other and so share in the promise of new life and hope in Jesus. With hope for a better tomorrow, trusting in your gracious word, we pray all this using the words that our Savior taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our King and Savior now draws near. Let us prepare the way by giving of our gifts to his glory.
Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you give in abundance, and with them we receive your good word in Jesus Christ. And so, with faith and hope and love, we respond by giving these as a token of our gratitude and a commitment of our very lives to you. Use them for your glory and help us to steward them for the very same, all through Christ our King. Amen.
Thank you.
The same word of hope and promise which came to Joseph comes to us. In Jesus, God is with us. In Jesus, God forgives and brings new life. So may this promise bring us hope and joy this Christmas, and may it send us out to share it with the world. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.